Friends, I don't have to tell you, but COVID-19 has come as a big disruptor. As long as I can remember, there have been quiet warnings that something like the 1918 flu epidemic might happen again. That spread disease and death around the world in modern times. In recent times, we've had some anticipations and people wondered, SARS, bird flu, and Ebola, although limited to Africa, but they didn't run rampant. But COVID-19 is the one that's taken off and has the world worried. I'm not aware of anyone in Trinity Church who is ill. So in our church family, I'm not aware of anyone who has COVID-19, but some of us have already lost family members who were vulnerable, and some of us are now experience, and this is a mouthful of words, but you know, socially distanced grief. It's difficult. What we are all experiencing is disruption. Children have been home from school. Most of you would never have chosen for homeschooling, but it's happening now, homeschooling, albeit with online support. Those who can work from home have been asked to work from home. And I've spoken to a few people who are already craving for their colleagues. They want some social life out there. Spring has arrived and the sun has been shining, but the message is, you know, don't go into the big open spaces. Don't go out and enjoy nature. Stay at home. Leaves a lot of people itching, you know, in Dutch, the lente kriebels. Family members. Well, we're an international church and we're concerned about those who can't be visited. They are often across borders, and borders that are closed, borders that can no longer be reached. They're in rest homes that are vulnerable. And so we spend more time than we might have before online. My dad is, who's listening in here, is a bit bored and restless. So I Skype more often than I did before. Disruption. Going out for essential supplies is now a bit of an exercise. And as you walk around the supermarket or those other places where you just have to go, there's this tension in the air. It's like, okay, have I washed my hands? Or what am I taking hold of? And then there are those people for whom 1.5 meters isn't quite the same as what you think it is. They don't seem to take it so seriously. So there are these awkward bunching up of us and our carts in the supermarket. Disruption. It gets right down to the basics of living. COVID-19 is a serious virus that will not be messed with. It's highly contagious by nature, and it has a higher mortality rate than other viruses. And it does what it will do, no matter what people choose to believe or say. You know, usually the world is just full of spin and people choosing their own alternative reality. COVID-19 takes no notice of that. But precisely because it's such an unwelcome reality, it has the power to disrupt normality. And that's what I'm wanting to work with here this morning. The power to disrupt normality. There are two thoughts I live with as I live in this disruption. Firstly, the pandemic is making the world step back from what business as usual. It is bringing some good disruption, because here it is, life as normal, as was accepted until a month or two ago, is actually not that wonderful. Life as normal is not something that can continue. Was the world so good and righteous before COVID-19? It's a question to ask. If I just take a few broad brushstrokes, just a few headlines, The ecology of the world has been telling us for some time that each year we use up the resources of 1.2 planets. That's normal until recently. It has to stop. The amount of air traffic in the normal of a few months ago, the amount of air traffic increased or doubled every 15 years. Every 15 years, twice as many people traveling, and I assume twice as many planes. And I think, oh, that's a bit crazy. That needs disrupting. If I get a bit local, 40% of Dutch teenagers are reported as having psychological illness during their teenage years. That's normal. That needs disrupting. It's not okay. And then most of the planet, as is really exposed at the moment as the economy staggers, most of the planet are living hand to mouth without basic facilities. Social isolating is for them an absolute luxury. It's just not available. While a minority of the planet control the vast bulk of resources. That needs disrupting. That's not a normal I'm in a hurry to go back to. And then we can't stop ourselves pumping climate-changing gases into the atmosphere. That needs disrupting. I could go on, couldn't I? The normal that there was before COVID-19 has some features that really need disrupting. But disruption comes at a cost. One of my favorite lines is from the founder of the Salvation Army. His name has just eluded me. William Booth. There it is. Thank you. From off screen, I get a cue. William Booth. To change the future, you need to disturb the present. To change the future, you need to disturb the present. But disturbing the present, or disruption as I'm calling it, always comes at a cost. The COVID-19 disruption has already claimed 100,000 lives globally and is expected to cause a depression such as hasn't been seen since the 1930s. So we're tasting the beginnings of this disruption. We're seeing the cost. And yet at the same time, we're being saved from a few realities, a few normalities that need changing. Why does it take COVID-19 to drop the crime rates around the world? Why does it take COVID-19 to clean the air and brighten the sun, at least here in Eindhoven? Why does it take COVID-19 to shut down commercial immorality? Adults understand what I'm talking about, on health grounds. What I really want to say this morning, this is just by way of lead up so far, but what I really want to say this morning is that the resurrection of Jesus from his grave is a disruptor that puts COVID-19 in the shade. Until Jesus rose from the grave, the normal arrangement had been, you were born, you make the best go at life as you can, many do it badly, you die, and you stay in the grave. End of story. And everything was adjusted to this. Life was lived with reference to this. And then one man breaks the rule. And like an infectious dynamic that we understand all too well, it only takes one to get away. The raising of Lazarus had been a dry run to demonstrate that death was no object, no barrier to God's redemption. The resurrection of Jesus by the sovereign power of God without anyone present was a disruption of the law of sin and death, as Paul describes it, a law that locks down human existence into the horizons of birth and death. It's a lockdown that everyone had adjusted to. Many people still see it that way. They're locked down between birth and death. those glib comments you hear at times. Life is a one performance act. And within that, human purpose and destiny are assessed. Human value and significance is assigned. Human love and sacrifice play out within those parameters. In the resurrection, they are massively upgraded and extended through Jesus rising from the grave, as witnessed by his disciples and friends, and as reported to us in the gospel. All through his ministry, Jesus let it be known that he was a disruptor. I've said this many times before. Never invite God, never expect Jesus to come to your house, to your party, to your life, and leave it as he found it. He's just not like that. He's a change agent and a disruptor from beginning to end. And the resurrection came as a vindicating authentication that all that he had talked about and all he had said and done was now a fact of reality. The horizons have moved. The boundaries are broken. The road closed is now a road open. The death-driven lockdown was broken. The curfew was over. Strangely familiar language, isn't it? So, God's purposes for humanity have been redeemed and upgraded. We are the ones who take hold of this, and live accordingly. This is what confronted the socially isolated, locked down disciples of Jesus, who were themselves huddling in fear because of the circumstances in the wake of the resurrection, or the crucifixion rather, that had put them in danger. Death had been disrupted, and death needed disrupting. So we as Christians are resurrection people. We rejoice in the disruption of God, of the powers that normally rule the world by sin and death. Amen? Okay, I trust you. So some questions and answers. How then should we live in a season of pandemic disruption? So I've described, we're recognizing COVID-19 as a disruption, but the resurrection is a bigger disruption. How do we live in a season of pandemic? Couple of answers. First of all, we place our hope in God's provision, not in reinstallment of the normal. I don't want the idols of this age reinstalled. I don't want to invest in the dark dimensions of normality being reinstated. I want to place my hope in God's disruption. So let the resurrection rule in your thinking as a new normal. Don't crave the flesh pots of Egypt. Oh, it was so good. It was so wonderful. No, it wasn't. And we don't want to go back there. But in our hearts and in our minds, we can choose for God's disruption. The empires of this world all need to fall. But focus, we have a resurrected king who cannot fall. No line can hold him or contain him. Let your mind and your heart go there first. The resurrection of Jesus made that absolutely real to his followers. And as is reported in the book of Acts, this is why those in power and privilege later complained, these men are turning the world upside down because they didn't hold to the parameters of normal that everyone else had. So that's the first thing. Place our hope in God's provision, not in reinstatement of what was normal. Second thought, breathe in God's bigger purpose in which death is but sleep until the resurrection. Some of us may not yet be part, or some of us, rather, this year, may be part of that 5% mortality that's expected for the infected. I'm being realistic here. These are early days. Like Lazarus, we may taste death, but the resurrection assures us this is only a sleep, and those who share Christ's death in baptism will share his resurrection. That is the hope I speak at every Christian funeral. But it's not only for funerals. It's for life. And it's what we as Christians live by in hope and not despair. Death is not a hard border. A third thought. Live to let others know that you embrace God's disruption and trust it as a foretaste and a promise of what is to come. Many have recently remembered that plagues are nothing new. And a lasting Christian witness in the ancient world was how Christians believing in the resurrection behaved when the plague broke out. Those who did well in the norms of this world fled cities. And it sounds strangely familiar. They couldn't take planes out of the country, as many people in Africa were trying to do, but were stopped. They couldn't go to their second or country house, as some politicians in Europe have been seen trying to do. The rich did in the ancient cities. At the same time that the rich and the propertied were leaving the plague cities, Christians were seen going in. And this made such a big impact on the culture and the awareness. People remembered when there was pressure, those who were totally invested and adjusted to this normal, they left. But those who were adjusted and focused on the disrupted new reality of the resurrection, they went in. Let that be an inspiration. There will be opportunities to love and care when others are afraid and cold-hearted. Take these opportunities to witness to your faith, your resurrection faith. You may even find words to account for that hope. So, in summary, choose your disruption. COVID-19 and all the uncertainties it brings, or the resurrection of Jesus that has been turning the wrong side up world upside down for centuries. It's an absolute game changer. It's not just a comfort until things get back to normal. Let us be disrupted by the resurrection from the fear of what is normal in this world. May this Easter message be an encouragement, an inspiration, and a challenge. May it be the topic of your Easter lunch.
Amen.